This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. I am Paul Harris, filling in for Dave Ross while he's off on vacation a couple of days. Let me introduce you to Jeff Charlotte. Jeff is a contributing editor for Harper's and Rolling Stone and the author of a bestseller called The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. I think if you're not familiar with the story, you will be shocked to hear what goes on inside this secret religious group, which is made up essentially of members of the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate. Jeff's book is now out in paperback, and I'm glad to have him here on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Tell me how many members of Congress and the House and Senate, both Republican and Democratic, you think are now or have been members of the family?
We can't be sure, but those who have admitted to their involvement or who are documented through the family's own archives number at least a few dozen. We have Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma, Senator Thomas Coburn of Oklahoma, Senator Brownback of Kansas, Senator Ensign of Nevada, Governor Sanford. Those guys have been actually inadvertently revealed their involvement. It's a fairly long list. Congressmen from Tennessee, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina, Senator Lindsey Graham. It's a long list of guys, and what's interesting about this group is that they're actually the oldest religious conservative organization in America, and they began right out there in Seattle.
They started in Seattle and included a guy who a lot of people from Seattle are familiar with, a guy who was with the Seahawks for so many years, now in the NFL Hall of Fame, a guy by the name of Steve Largent, who became a congressman from Oklahoma and once lived at the C Street House that you refer to so often in the book, right?
Indeed. Steve Largent lived at the C Street House. In fact, he lived there with Congressman Chip Pickering of Mississippi, who's been in the news. Because while Senator Ensign was having an affair and used the C Street House to help cover it up, and Governor Sanford retreated from his affair there, Chip Pickering, according to his wife's divorce papers, actually conducted his affair in this C Street House, this house the family maintains for congressmen on Capitol Hill, providing them below-market housing, which ought to count as a gift and ought to be accounted for, but isn't. And Pickering and Largent were roommates. When all this came out, Largent, instead of coming out and sort of defending his traditional stance of sort of public morality and that kind of thing, suddenly his pals from C Street, Ensign and Sanford, they don't need to resign the way he said Clinton needed to resign. In fact, it's just fine for them to stay in power. Largent actually even kept their secrets and, in effect, helped them cover up their misdeeds that the public wanted to know about.
In fact, covering up misdeeds is an important part of what the family has done, because secrecy is really the watchword there, isn't it?
It is. It is. That's the sort of the first rule of C Street, is you don't talk about C Street. Members of the House vow secrecy. Representative Zach Womp, a conservative Republican of Tennessee, went in the news to kind of defend that. The leader of the group, Doug Coe, likes to say, "The more invisible you, the more invisible you can make your organization, the more influence it will have." That's absolutely true, which is why we have laws requiring lobbies to register as such. But the group has long felt that secrecy was the best way to reach the powerful folks that it wanted to influence.
You mentioned Senator John Ensign of Nevada, who was caught having an affair, and Governor Mark Sanford of South Carolina, who was caught having an affair. These things, by the time they became public, were well known within the family, weren't they?
Indeed, for months. The way we found out about Senator Ensign's affair, in fact, the family was helping him cover it up. His former aide and friend, whose wife Ensign decided to seduce, came forth publicly. He said that he had tried to work through the family in their C Street house to get the senator to stop sleeping with his wife, effectively, that the family had encouraged the senator to make payments to the mistress and the mistress's husband, what's otherwise known to most of us as hush money. Senator Coburn called it making the family whole. So he put out this all in public, and what we learned was that the family not only knew about this, but they were encouraging these payments that were, in effect, kind of keeping this out of the public sphere. Some of these payments go beyond just tacky, but possibly into violations of campaign finance laws. The Washington Post editorial board has called for an investigation. The Committee for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has called for an investigation. If Senator Ensign did move money through his campaign structure the way he appears to have done so, you're talking about a possible felony there, and that would implicate not just Ensign, but Senator Coburn of Oklahoma as well, who seems to possibly have been involved. We just need to know more.
Coburn supposedly not only wanted this money paid off, but wanted the payments to be even bigger than they were, didn't he?
Exactly. $1.2 million, he said, was required to make the Hampton family, that's the family of the mistress, to make the family whole. In the end, what we know of was the Ensign's parents gave the mistress's family $96,000, and that's an odd sum. It's a bunch of separate, distinct gifts of $12,000, which they did to avoid having to report it to taxes. And then there was also a $25,000 payout for her when she left Senator Ensign's employ. As hypocritical as that seems, within the family and within Coburn's mind, that's justifiable. That's very much in keeping with the free market fundamentalism of the family. They believe that God wills a sort of absolute market-driven approach to everything, including, apparently, who you sleep with.
Yeah, I love these hyper-religious guys who apparently haven't read the Ten Commandments. We got to take a break, and then we'll come back and talk more with Jeff Charlotte. His book, The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power, is out now in paperback. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. I'm Paul Harris, talking with Jeff Charlotte, the author of The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. The Family is a hyper-secret religious group made up of members of the United States House of Representatives and the Senate, both Republican and Democratic. They are hyper-secret and hyper-religious as well. And Jeff, in my reading of some of the stuff that you've written, it seems to me like these guys put each other and their religious beliefs ahead of their sworn allegiance to the Constitution of the United States. Is that true?
That's exactly true. When you join what they call a prayer cell in the family, when like Senator Ensign and Senator Coburn, you sign off on a document or you're governed by a document called Thoughts on a Core Group. I obtained copies of these documents, I should say, because I lived as a member of the group for 1 month and then discovered their archives at the Billy Graham Center and dug through them for years, literally. And what this document says is that when you join a prayer cell, you agree to maintain a publicly invisible but privately identifiable group of companions to whom you give veto rights over your life, and you agree to the financial precepts of the family. And what that means is that a lot of money moves off the books. They call it the man-to-man financial method. The IRS calls that a tax dodge.
Yeah. Tell me what that means, veto rights over your life.
Well, we really saw it play out in Senator Ensign's case. The interesting thing about Senator Ensign is what we know when we look at the case, he didn't actually want to break it off with his mistress, but one of his spiritual advisors, David Coe, one of the leaders of the group, actually stood over him, forced him to write a letter breaking it off, according to the husband of the mistress, who was also a member of the group, of the family, longtime Senate aide, hardly a fringe character. Forced Ensign to look into giving payments to the mistress's family. And then when Ensign lacked the guts to fire his own mistress because he couldn't face her anymore, the family did that for him as well. Now, that's all disturbing on the personal level, but when we look a little deeper and we see that actually Senator Ensign, along with Senator Coburn and half a dozen other congressmen, have been traveling around the world on the family's dime, representing themselves as doing official government business, but being paid for by this organization, meeting with foreign heads of state, suddenly those veto rights in a congressman's life look a lot scarier.
Are you telling me that they're actually doing missionary trips on the public dime?
Absolutely, absolutely. In fact, Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma boasts that he's taken about 20 trips overseas to Africa, met heads of state of major African nations like Nigeria and Kenya and so on, that he goes as a representative of the United States. Much of his travel is paid for by the Senate Armed Forces Committee. And but he says, but what I'm doing is I'm spreading the political philosophy of Jesus Christ as explained to me by Doug Coe, the leader of the family.
I just want to go over this one last time. These guys who are representatives of, quote, the people of the United States are not representing us. They are representing their religious cult.
Absolutely. Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas, who gave me a lot of access, explained it to me that through the family, he had learned that one of the things, in fact, leaders of the family, they say to congressmen, they say, how many constituents do you have? And if you're like a senator from Kansas, you might say, you know, 1 or 2 million people, whatever it is out there. And they say, no, that's not right. You have only one constituent, Jesus. And how do you know what Jesus wants? You don't. It's not even through reading the Bible. It's through getting together with your buddies in this organization and listening to messages from God. Senator Brownback explained to me one message that they had received was to pursue a piece of legislation called the Silk Road Act, which would have opened up the Central Asian republics to the kind of investment that his major financial backer, Koch Industries, would have found very beneficial.
And that's what God wants?
That's what God wants, because God, Senator Brownback explained to me, likes to use capitalism to spread the gospel. It says where big business goes, the gospel follows. You got to understand that this group began, as I say, out there in Seattle in the midst of the Great Depression, and they had the idea that any kind of attempt to regulate the market, the New Deal itself, were affronts to the power of God. And so they organized. Actually, the first political success was electing Arthur Langley out there in the state of Washington.
I got to take another quick break. We'll come back and talk more with Jeff Charlotte. This amazing story is in his book, The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. I'm Paul Harris doing the Dave Ross Show on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. This is News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. I'm Paul Harris filling in for Dave Ross and talking with Jeff Charlotte about his book, The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. The Family is a secret religious group made up of members of Congress, both Republican and Democratic, although overwhelmingly Republican. They are members of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate as well, who have sworn allegiance to each other and to their group above their sworn allegiance. Remember, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. Apparently, that is not number one on their list of priorities. Their religious group is number one. Jeff, how do they get away with this? You talk about them going around the world and doing essentially missionary trips to try to spread what they call biblical capitalism around the world. They cover up affairs that members of their own group are in the midst of. How do they get away with it?
Well, that's a good question. It's not clear that they're going to keep getting away with it right now. The fact is, despite all the things they've been involved in over the years, these three sex scandals have really turned public scrutiny on them. And hopefully there's going to be some ethics investigations, starting with Senator Ensign, but perhaps spreading. The real question is, this group is in some ways walking like a lobby, talking like a lobby, and yet not registering as one. And, you know, that becomes important. Sometimes folks look at the book and the work I'm doing and they think, oh, you know, you're doing some kind of anti-Christian thing. Not at all. The people in the forefront of the fight against this group actually are Christians themselves. This isn't a left-right issue. It's not a pro-religion, anti-religion issue. We're talking about the question of transparency and open democracy versus the kind of thing that goes on behind closed doors. And I think, you know, I have respect for even far-right fundamentalist organizations like James Dobson's group that make their case in the public square. You can agree with it, you can disagree with it, but they make it in the public square. That's democracy. This group was founded in contempt of democracy, and they continue to practice that to this day. And so let's hope they don't keep getting away with it.
What in their mind does biblical capitalism mean?
Well, it means, I mean, they say it's a sort of a free market fundamentalism. They're going sort of laissez-faire economics, that God will set of the market. If God wants you to be rich, you'll be rich. If God doesn't want you to be rich, you won't be, and you shouldn't complain. But, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a conservative friend, Will Wilkinson, at the Cato Institute, very conservative foundation in Washington. And he read the book, and I thought, boy, he was really going to rip it apart because he really believes in free markets. And he said, you know what, these guys are calling free markets isn't free markets at all. He said, this is self-interest by proxy. In other words, it's crony capitalism.
Not only is it not free market, but these are the guys, the very guys, who are taking tax dollars, government dollars, and using it to prop up some of these things. That, you know, with the governments involved, that's not the free market.
No, not at all. These guys are using federal tax dollars to pursue their own private religious agenda. It goes back decades. Their first real serious international involvement was way back in 1959. Senator Frank Carlson, this is all documented in their archives, led a delegation of American businessmen to interview a new leader of Haiti called Papadoc Duvalier. And that name may ring a bell for some listeners out there. Papadoc turned out to be one of the most lunatic and brutal killers in the Western Hemisphere. But Frank Carlson, because he saw Papadoc as a practitioner of biblical capitalism, arranged for U.S. foreign aid to flow to Haiti, a terrible entanglement for the United States that led to nothing but heartbreak and suffering and murder, and least of all, any kind of Christian advancement. Christians out there should be as frightened of Papadoc as anybody. He wasn't a man of God. He believed he was God, and he ruled through the use of a squad of assassins called the Tonton Macoutes, who were far from anything Christian.
I just want to touch on one other thing here to talk about these guys and their religious extremism here, because that's what this really is. At the heart of all of this is religious extremism, and these are religious extremists who now have power inside the United States government. You write in the book about meeting some of these guys when you stayed in that house, and some of them referred to Ground Zero, the hole in Manhattan from the 9/11 attacks. They refer to that as the ruins of secularism. What do they mean by that?
That's how I actually got into the group. A friend asked me to speak with her brother, who had left a good career and a relationship to go work with the group, and she worried he had joined a cult. And this was shortly after 9/11. He was up in New York, where I was living at the time, and he said, I've come to survey the ruins of secularism. And what this suggests is the family, like a lot of fundamentalist groups, thinks that everything wrong in the world comes from secularism, and everything good in the world comes from God. So inasmuch as you declare yourself a God-led politician, you're doing good works. If you respect the Constitution, respect constitutional separation of church and state, the separation that guarantees us all our religious liberty, they see you as secular, and they see you as contributing to the decadence and downfall of America. You know, that's a view they happen to share, and there's no way to put this delicately, that's a view they happen to share with Al-Qaeda. That also views secularism as a disaster. Secularism is not anti-religion. It's allowing us all the space to practice our own religious traditions, our own religious beliefs, or lack thereof. The family's absolutely opposed to that.
You're absolutely right. And what's hysterical to me about this is that these guys who are so ultra-religious don't see the hypocrisy of their own religious group within those four walls of the C Street House. It is a fascinating story, and I know you've been getting a lot of attention lately because you've been appearing on Rachel Maddow's show on MSNBC. What's the family's reaction been to you talking about this so publicly in the last couple of weeks?
Well, my favorite pushback was they trotted out a half a dozen congressmen who spoke to some of the political publications like Politico and Roll Call and so on to declare, in effect, they say, oh, we too are associated with this group. We can't tell you what goes on there. We can't reveal any of the secrets. But just trust us. It's okay. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah.
And, you know, the presumption of that. I mean, and not lightweight either. We're talking Senator Lindsey Graham, Congressman Randy Forbes, some real significant politicians who are telling us that, we're not entitled to know what they're doing behind closed doors.
Unbelievable. Jeff Charlotte's book is The Family, The Secret Fundamentalism at the Heart of American Power. It actually raises the hair on the back of my neck in fear and in anger that this sort of thing has been going on and kept secret for so long. I hope, as you do, I know, that there will be some investigation into it and that more of it will be exposed. And I know you're continuing to report on this, and I'm anxious to see what else you can dig up, Jeff. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much, Paul.
Paul Harris filling in for Dave Ross on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM.